Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now.
I keep talking about shamanic Reiki and healers, and it's been a while since I explained what I'm talking about. With shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner coming up, I should do that. Shamanic Reiki is a fusion of traditional Reiki energy work with shamanic techniques that together create a more transformative experience for both you as a practitioner and for your clients than Reiki does alone, especially for those who are drawn to those intuitive, mystical experiences like shamanism offers. I know you might be just dipping your toes in the shamanic waters, which is why I include journeying in other offerings, like next week's virtual Ostara ceremony for the spring equinox. You get to practice guided journeying and divination within our sacred circle. Check the show notes for the link and join us on March 20th. I keep it very inexpensive, so you can have the experience in a circle of like-hearted people without any huge commitment. I mentioned Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner too. The next virtual training begins April 3rd. The Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner level is open to anyone with a Reiki 2 or higher attunement and at least some experience with shamanic journeys. Why do it? Because this is where you radically evolve your practice with shamanic techniques rooted in nature. You're probably already doing this stuff intuitively. The Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner training grounds that into a foundational methodology that you can confidently offer your clients, with the added bonus of deepening your own sense of interconnection with the wild world. There's a Shamanic Reiki link in the show notes so you can check it out. Now let me circle back to healers. Healing is one of those words that you may hesitate to use unless you're an allopathic doctor or therapist or something that society considers legit. I think here in 2024, Healer is one of those words that we need to reclaim for the ancestors, you know? As you listen, I invite you to believe that you are a healer. All beings have the innate ability to heal, and there is a growing community of non-traditional and holistic healers who are doing the work of showing others that ability within themselves. So even if you don't call yourself a healer, know that you are. And the world needs healers. The more I learn about climate change and biodiversity loss, the more I realize how much stress being in a world in crisis is causing us. We need a radical evolution of the way we humans live in and with the natural world. But I am constantly frustrated by the lack of political will to set that evolution in motion. It won't be a top-down thing. It's going to take enough of us to care about the well-being of our fellow beings, human and more than human alike, to push us all forward. So maybe you aren't an energy worker. Energy workers, shamanic practitioners, and the like are just some of the people I think of as healers. The circle holders and ritual weavers are healers too. Artists, musicians, writers, whose work inspires and soothes, yeah, they are healers. I wish more of the scientists and conservationists knew that they were healers. And the people connecting to and supporting the wild beings, tending the land, they are all healers too. Dana O'Driscoll, who is the Grand Archdruid of the Ancient Order of Druids in America, the order I belong to, just published a beautiful book called Land Healing. In it, she writes, "Land healing refers to physically or energetically mitigating harm, restoring to wholeness, and rebuilding connections, and facilitating passage for those who need it. Land healing is a holistic approach that includes physical, metaphysical, and personal healing work." Sounds like what I was saying. While there are more different ways to be a healer, I want to touch on one that is near and dear to me, wildlife rehabilitation. If you didn't know, I am a licensed wildlife rehabilitator in New York, and I specialize in caring for injured freshwater turtles. I also take care of snakes and frogs, plus occasionally squirrels, opossums, and pigeons. But turtles are my passion, and that arose from my first experience with a shamanic journey. Well, winter is a fairly quiet time for me, just keeping those who needed long-term care safe and well through the cold months. As soon as nesting season starts in late spring, turtles start getting hit on the roads and I get flooded with calls. Thanks to the warming world, that season starts earlier every year. All of the wildlife rehabilitators I know are getting animals earlier than they used to. Squirrels, rabbits, all having babies earlier. So even the people who are trying to do the right thing and doing things like tree trimming now are disturbing nests. We're all volunteers, and it's a real struggle to keep up with the rest of life when things get busy. Doing the work, though, lets me witness firsthand that ability to heal that is innate in all beings. Turtles, especially, are so resilient. All I do is assist with pain management, infection prevention, making sure the pieces of the shell are aligned so they can knit back together, and provide a safe place to rest and watch the turtles show me what healers look like. I encourage you to learn more about what wildlife rehabilitators do, and maybe more importantly, who they are in your area. There's a website called Animal Help Now, you can use to search for a wildlife rehabilitator anywhere in the United States and maybe Canada now as well. They even have a smartphone app. So if you find an animal that needs assistance, you can bring it up and it will tell you who is closest. And make donations to the rehabbers, especially if you bring them an animal. We don't get paid. And we need to feed and house animals, as well as pay for vet visits and medication. Be a healer who helps healers. So I mentioned several ways to be a healer in this world. Like me, you're probably doing more than one kind. If it's not you, you know the Reiki practitioner who is also an artist, or the photographer who guides forest bathing. And maybe they both have a day job to pay the bills, but won't stop because they are called to be healers. It's stressful for the healers out there, so we need to take care of ourselves too. The practices I share, I recommend because they help me stay connected to that calling, the big why of whatever it is I'm doing. I practice my sit spot meditation, journal like crazy, gather in circle whenever I can, and I'm really trying to make more space in my life for more formal healing rituals like the ones in Dana's Land Healing book. I know you won't resonate with everything I offer, so I'll keep putting out practices you can try until you find what works. The one I'm going to share now is from Tibetan shamanism, and it's one that we teach in shamanic Reiki. It's a simple energy sending technique that anyone can do once you get the feel for the way the energy moves. I'm going to talk you through it, then I invite you to practice it a lot. You can send to people or all the squirrels in the park, the birds at your feeder, whoever. This is a practice that is best done standing. And if you happen to be driving, you're going to have to put this on hold for a little while because you will need your hands for this. So if you're ready, go ahead and stand. Just standing comfortably. Now, if you want to practice sending to someone, you can have them stand in front of you, but put enough distance between you so that if you extend your arm fully forward, you're not going to hit them. Once you get into your stance, just let your eyes close, relax, stand for a moment. And although the energies of the earth are not necessarily part of this practice, I always invite the earth energy up through my feet whenever I'm doing any standing work. But what I want you to feel into is the energy that flows down through the crown of your head. Up above you, there's the sky, and then beyond the sky, the cosmos. Full of star beings. All putting out this incredible luminous energy. And it's that energy that we're going to tap into. So feel for a moment that energy flowing down and coming in through the crown of your head. That flow of energy is what we're going to work with. Now reach both of your arms up overhead. And imagine, feel that you can reach even higher, all the way up into the cosmos. And that up there, there are these threads of that luminous cosmic energy from the star beings. And imagine you can wrap your fingers into that energy, into those threads. And as you take your next breath in, bring your hands down as if you were drawing those threads of energy down. And guide them to the top of your head, and then move your hands down as if you were guiding them all the way down your head and all the way into your heart. Now take a couple breaths, just let that energy settle into the heart, and then we're going to do that again. So reach up, connect in with those strands of luminosity. And as you take your next breath in, draw the energy down. Bending your elbows, bringing your hands down, guiding it through the crown of your head and down into your heart. Let's do it one more time. Reach up. Inhale and draw some energy down, 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 down through your head and into your heart. And feel that energy swirling in the heart space. Now that's the first part of this sending. So gathering the energy in. And you might want to practice just that until you really get the feel for that energy coming down. The second part is then moving that energy from the heart and sending it to whoever it is that you want to direct it towards. This energy cannot harm. So this is not like cursing anybody or even sending unwelcome energy. Because wherever it goes, it will only affect the other if it's welcomed. And that is always the intention for our work, to have it received if the desire is there to receive for the other's highest and deepest good. All right. So let's start to move that energy out of the heart. We do this by taking two exhales with a sh sound. So vocal exhales. There's not really an inhale in between them, except maybe a little quick sipping of breath. It's more like sh, sh, all with the same breath. So let's practice that just a couple times. Shoo, shoo. Shoo, shoo. Now, as you practice that, try to get the feel for pushing out half the air in your lungs with the first, and the remainder with the second. So the second might actually be a little more forceful. So again, you might need to take another big inhale before you try it. And then, shoo, shoo. And again, you can keep practicing this. Just make sure you're taking big enough inhales so that you don't get lightheaded doing too many of those exhales in a row. So that's one piece of the sending. The other piece is movement. So we've been working with the hands and arms, bringing the energy in, and now we're going to use the arms to send the energy out. So just make note of which one of your hands is your dominant hand. So which hand do you tend to write with, and which is your non-dominant hand? what's your non-dominant hand? Just above the solar plexus, so along those bottom ribs, about where the diaphragm is. As if you could make a base for the heart. So that's going to help everything stay in the heart. That's going to sit there. Now take your dominant hand, bend your elbow, and put your dominant hand right in front of its shoulder with your palm facing out. So this is our starting position. And as we do the movement, we're going to imagine the energy flowing down that dominant arm and out through the palm. And we're going to do two thrusts forward with that palm. So the first one is not going to go all the way. So maybe your elbow is still a little bit bent and you're keeping that hand, you know, shoulder or heart height in front of you. And just imagine that you're just pushing someone away. Just push. The first one, again, is going to be not quite as forceful, not quite as far. And then with the second one, you're going to extend your arm fully, keeping your palm facing forward as if you're really pushing hard. So now we're going to put that sending part together with the breath that you just practiced. So after you take an inhale, you bring that energy into the heart. You're going to put your non-dominant hand right across the diaphragm to hold all of that energy in the heart space. The dominant hand comes up in front of your shoulder with the palm facing out. And then you're going to do those two exhales in conjunction with pushing your arm forward. So first push and shoo, and then the second push all the way out and that big shoo. So again, have your palm facing out in front of your shoulder. Take a little breath in so you have some air to practice this. And then it's going to be shoo, shoo, with the arm pushing out twice with the breath. And what you want to start to feel for, to sense, to imagine, is that energy that you brought in with the inhale, that luminous energy, flows out through your arm with the movement and the breath, and is directed towards whoever you're sending this to. And you don't have to worry about exactly where you're sending. You can be very intuitive with it. And trust that the energy knows where it's going. And you did set that intention for the other's highest and deepest good. So now we have both pieces. We have the drawing of the energy in, and then the sending out. So this is what it looks like when you do it all together. You reach your arms up, and as you're inhaling, you grab some of that luminous energy and you draw it down through your crown and you guide it down through your head. And as you guide it to your heart, you're going to put your non-dominant hand right across the bottom of your sternum. The dominant hand comes up in front of your shoulder, and then the two exhales, shoo, shoo, pushing that dominant hand forward, not quite as forcefully, and then fully extending the arm, big push forward, sensing that energy flowing out through your hand and directing it towards the other. You do not have to be close, but Again, I mentioned before, you can practice on someone who's standing right in front of you. Just make sure that they're far enough back so that you're not accidentally going to hit them with your hand as you thrust it forward. You can be much further away though, and I do like to practice this sometimes, just sending to a squirrel up in a tree or a bird that I saw or any of the other critters who are around. Sometimes I do a quick send after the turtles when I release them. And you can do this with your pets, with your dogs and your cats, and if you're like me, your snakes and your lizards and your turtles, all of those things. Be careful that when you are sending to especially the more than humans, that you are far enough away that the movement is not going to be scary. And sometimes you need to be a little more subtle with it, so the movements are not quite as forceful, especially for one of those beings who won't understand what you're doing. So just to recap, to begin this practice, and it is just one breath's worth of practice. And you can do it a few times for somebody, and then that's enough. And so you reach up, connect in with the energy, know that it's there, and know that you can wrap your fingers in it and direct it. And then take an inhale and draw that energy down through your crown. Feel it flowing down. Feel that cosmic energy like light coming in into the heart. Non-dominant hand goes across the bottom of the sternum, holding that into the heart space. Dominant hand comes in front of your shoulder, palm facing forward. And then those two exhales with the arm pressing forward. Shoo! Shoo! And then that's it. Thank you for practicing with me. I hope you resonate with this practice, but if not, know that there are more in past episodes and in episodes to come.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.